We enjoy coming. Venu's here with me today. And so enjoy your time with her if she hasn't prayed with you yet. And I forgot to tell Caleb I was coming, but if I did, he'd say hello. I'm sure he's enjoying New York City food and the culture there in New York. It's something that he definitely enjoys. So we saw him briefly, and that was nice. Our girls, our youngest, are now seniors in high school. So that's neat. Our other daughter just got back from Israel, and so that was a neat opportunity she had to spend some time there. Ravi just finished his last day of work yesterday. He's going back to school. And so that's what's happening with all them. And Venu just goes places, and God just opens doors, and she talks and prays with so many people. And hears words from the Lord that the people need to hear. And so that is good. So let's just see what's on the PowerPoint. Let's see where we're starting. All right, there, if you need to stay connected with me on the internet, Rabbi Ron Speaks is the easy way. Website, there is a contact page, so if you ever have questions or comments, you can get in touch with me there. Or Facebook, Rabbi Ron Speaks, you can also send me a message so you can stay connected there. All right, if we look at the next slide, I want to share a teaching, The Wall is a Stump. And I shared this, I think, in June or July, but it got a little personal, I realized, this past few weeks. Since I shared it last, some personal experiences going through, and excuse me, and I will be able to share about those later in the message. I'll work them in there. And but I had the chance for the second time to go to Israel in January of 2015. And when I was there and got to go to the wall, Hillel, our tour guide, started talking about that the wall is a symbol of the restoration of God's temple. He said when Jewish people see the wall, they're reminded that our ancestors used to worship there in the past. But the Bible also mentions there will be another temple in the end. And therefore, he says that when we see this wall, we are not only reminded of our past, but we're also reminded of our future. And he said, this is why the wall is so important. And he said, this is why the people of Israel can never give up that wall, can never give up Jerusalem. We have to go there and pray and be with the Lord. And as he told us this, I felt the Lord speak to me and say, the wall is a stump. All right, if we can look at the next slide. And I don't know much about gardening. If you look at my yard, that's obvious. And but it's exercise and fresh air. But I don't know much about it, so I figured, but what is a stump? Anybody? What is that? We have a picture, and that picture, when I shared about a stump and another thing in a tour of Jerusalem, the pastor's wife came up to me at the end of the service and shared that picture that she took of a property. And so a stump is the bottom part of a tree left in the ground when most of it has fallen off or been cut down. And so there used to be a whole lot more above that picture at some point in the past. And so when you cut down a tree, you have a choice. You can leave a small part of the trunk in the ground, and it is a stump, and sprouts can grow again because it's still connected to the root. Now, if you have a tree with a lot of disease, you can consider getting someone there and uprooting it and ripping everything out of the ground and saying, I've washed my hands clean of this. It is done. Forget it. It's over. Or you can believe that there is still life left in that tree and that it can live again. And if you do, you leave a stump in the ground connected to the roots. All right, if we look at the next slide, Yeshua in Matthew 24, he said, you'll see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, referring to Daniel 9. And when you look at Yeshua, he mentioned holy place. In Daniel chapter 9, he talks about the end times, and you see it talks about he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed to be poured out on him. And so Yeshua talking mentions there will be a temple where people are sacrificing and bringing offerings in the end. Now, sometimes Christians have a hard time with this because Yeshua has provided atonement for our sins, and I know that. But Yeshua mentions there'll be a temple in the end. So all we got to figure out is what's going on, but we know for sure that there will be a temple once again. There can be questions about how and all sorts of other things. But as Hillel mentioned, and I just found it so interesting because Hillel, he's an old American hippie from the 70s here that eventually made his way to Israel, and he was an old hippie. But still, and most Jews are secular. There's no faith and trust in God's word, that it is God's word inspired, that we have to live by it or anything. Most Jewish people are not there. And yet, even though they are secular and don't trust in the authority of the Word of God, I guess it's when things are convenient, then they use it. But whatever it is, and sometimes maybe like in this case with Hillel, it's God, because God works through anybody and everybody who accomplishes His purpose. And so since the Jews, a majority, are not in faith in Messiah, despite the fact they don't put their trust in the authority of God's word, people like Hillel, Israelis, sit there and say, we can't give up Jerusalem because God's word says there'll be a temple there again in the future. And so Rome destroyed most of it, but this wall was left. And that wall is a stump because restoration is possible. New walls can be built and attached to it. And this means that there can be worship again in the future. People can meet there and worship the Lord. They're praying now, but there is still more life to come in the end times. And this wall is a stump that God's not through with that city. He still has plans for the city of Jerusalem. Now, if we could look at the next slide, the Lord also reminded me that David's family is a stump. In Isaiah 11:1, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And since I know nothing about gardening, and the Good News translation paraphrase helps me, it says the royal line of David's like a tree that's been cut down. But just as new branches sprout from a stump, so a new king will arise from among David's descendants. All throughout history, God has said that a future seed of David will rule forever, and not only over Israel, but all nations. Now, many of David's kids were wicked, unfortunately. They were spiritually unhealthy. But God did not give up on David's family. He did not consider removing them from the kingdom. God didn't sit there and decide to just disband David's family and look for someone else to bring the Messiah. He kept the lineage intact because he had made a promise to David that your sons will rule over Israel. And ultimately the Messiah himself will come and rule. And so since many of his children were evil, God cut them down like a tree. But he left the stump so that new branches could grow. And almost 2,000 years ago, Yeshua came from the family of David, just like God promised. Now, if we could look at the next slide. That's good to know. I thought I shared it before, but it's always lighting is different. Programs are different. Yellow font doesn't work with the green in this place. You can read it still? Okay, maybe it's just my eyesight in the back. But as well the distance. The people of Israel, including our leaders, were spiritually bad or unhealthy. It wasn't just David's family. It was all of us. All of us. But God was not finished with the people of Israel. He has more plans for us. God believes that Israel has a future, so he left a stump in Jerusalem. He left a wall to rebuild and more, but he also left the remnant of people because he is not finished with the people of Israel. This is what has happened at all time throughout history. In Deuteronomy 30, we see Israel. He says, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you from all the nations you've been scattered. He scattered them because they sinned. They wouldn't trust him and live according to his word. But he didn't trash them and abandon them. He scattered them. But he said, I will restore you. I will restore you. He says that, and again in Jeremiah, I'm going to bring you back and restore. All throughout history, God kept promising them when they were in trouble and out of the land, I will restore you. I will bring you back home again. And even if we can go ahead and click it again, we see there what, right? Yep. One of the reasons why? Compassion. God has compassion on us. Even when we blow it and ignore him and disobey his word, he still has compassion. All right, let's go to the next slide. Zechariah. I'll strengthen Judah, save the tribes of Joseph, and I will what? Restore them. Because I have compassion on them, and they'll be as though I never rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, and will answer them. Once again, God tells us what? Go ahead there, if you could hit it again on the slide. Compassion. God keeps telling us that every time we're in trouble, I will restore you, because I still have compassion. God sees the hardships and troubles that we're experiencing. And it moves his heart so much that he has a strong desire to relieve us of our suffering. If we can go to the next slide. Again in Jeremiah, return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord, I'll frown on you no longer. For I am faithful, declares the Lord. I'll not be angry forever. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord. For I am your husband. I'll bring you to Zion. And Paul told Timothy something very much the same. Even when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful because he can't deny who he is. All right, we see there one in the red, unfaithful, faithless. Unfortunately, that describes us too often. We have been faithless at times, unfaithful. But if you can go ahead and hit the thing for the slide again, what do we see? He reminds us again, and to go ahead and do it one more time, that even though we are faithless, he remains faithful. He made a promise to us. And God will remain faithful to keep his promise even when we are unfaithful. It's amazing, His love. Even though we are faithless and ignore Him, reject Him, He can't deny us. He can't abandon us because that's not who He is. It's not part of His character and who God is. And so He will always remain faithful to us. And even there in the end of Jeremiah 31, it says what? I'm your husband. Even though there are moments we get unfaithful, He won't divorce us. He won't divorce us and look for another wife. He remains our husband even when we're unfaithful. If we can look at the next slide, Paul tells us the same thing in Romans for Israel. It says what? I then, did God reject His people? By no means. I'm an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject His people whom He foreknew. God has not abandoned Israel. He still has kept a stump, a remnant alive, because He still has plans for the people of Israel. And we're part of that remnant. We are part of that stump, that remnant. Now you see here, like in baseball, when a player or a manager, he gets a little mouthy. He gets in the face of the umpire. Now we're laughing, but hey, we do that too with God sometimes, huh? We get mouthy and we get in God's face. And in baseball, you stay in the face of the umpire, that hand goes up, you're out of here. Goodbye. I don't want to see you again. God won't raise that finger like that to us. Now, as I was thinking about this, though, last night, in hockey, they have a penalty box. Now, a penalty box is different than that, what's happening there. A penalty box, you just go in there for a few minutes. Just a little time out. You know, Israel, you'll be scattered just for a little bit. But I'm not abandoning you and tossing you out for good. Last night, I just looked up penalty box. You can get put in the penalty box just for a few minutes, and it could be 3 or 5 or 10, whatever, depending how bad and naughty you've been. But it's just temporary. And it said the penalty box could also just be called the box for short. A box. We had a box here, huh? It could just be called a box for short, or a bin, or you know what I learned last night? Some people call it the sin bin. The sin bin! And that's what Israel would experience. They'd go in the sin bin. For a little while, you won't be allowed to come back home. But I'm not tossing you out like that umpire for good. You will return and come home again. God's not through with the nation of Israel. If we can look at the next slide. He then says here in these verses, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation's come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? That last part is just mind-boggling. Salvation has come to make Israel envious, and salvation's an amazing gift. But he said, how much greater riches will come when the Jewish nation comes back? Greater? greater than salvation. The best is yet to come. Something greater is coming than what we have now. This is incredible. Something better than salvation. But to this message, did they stumble as to fall beyond recovery? We may go down like that boxer. Some of us feel like we've been punched and knocked down. But look, that man, it's not over for him. He's getting back up on his feet so that he can fight and live again. Folks, sometimes we get knocked down, but not beyond recovery. We will recover and get back on our feet again. And I've just been standing on this. I had 4 weeks ago today, I was in the emergency room because I started choking and gagging every time I'd eat, drink, or swallow. And so they rushed me to the hospital. I had a headache and I couldn't swallow. And we're still investigating all this. I just had a brain MRI yesterday. And for 4 weeks now, I'm still gagging when I eat. But I realized as well, my problems didn't start 4 weeks ago. I've been having trouble swallowing for months. I mean, not swallowing, breathing short of breath. In November or December, the cardiologist said I've got a leaky aorta. And one of the things of that is shortness of breath. But then I've also been reminded, my mother had told me that when I was born, I was a purple baby. Anyone familiar with that phrase, purple baby? She said I had my umbilical cord wrapped around my neck inside her womb. 1989, I had pneumonia, was hooked up to oxygen. I couldn't breathe on my own. Right from my mother's womb, the devil's been trying to choke me and keep me from breathing. He's been trying to take my life and prevent me from speaking because God's called me to raise my voice like a shofar. And so, one, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So there'll be moments he'll try to take our life and kill us. But he'll also try to destroy and rob us from the purposes that God created us for. And so right from my mother's womb, before I was out on my own, he's been trying to stop me. He doesn't quit, but folks, we haven't stumbled or fallen beyond recovery. God will lift us up and put us back up on our feet. And so, get back up on your feet. Sometimes a boxer, I couldn't find the picture, but sometimes when they're really weak at the moment, they grab hold of that rope and pull themselves back up because they are determined to get back up on their feet again. And I want to remind you that and encourage you that because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so the enemy will come to try to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come that we'd have life and life more abundantly, to the fullest and overflowing. And so when the enemy attacks, remember that he is greater and that you can get back up on your feet again. This message is for the nation of Israel and Romans, but it is also for all of us. We can get on our feet again. Let's look at the next slide. In verses 25 and 6, don't be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced the hardening in parts until the full number of Gentiles has come in, and in this way all Israel will be saved. Hardening in parts. Not all, but just in part. And if we can go and hit it one more time on the computer. Until. That word until tells me this isn't final. It's just temporary. It's just for a little season that this will happen. But the season will end. The battle will be over until it is not forever. Folks, we get knocked down, but we don't stay down forever. That season will end. This too will pass, and we'll be back up on our feet again. It is only temporary. Let's go to the next slide. The last verse there. I just love, we're all a stump. Not just the wall. Not just the family of David. Not just the nation of Israel, a remnant, a stump. But all of us. Sadly, we've all been unclean and full of sin. We have been unspiritually unhealthy or sick. But God doesn't reject us. He doesn't divorce us and look for a new bride or wife. He's committed to us. And so we sent Yeshua to die for our sins, our spiritual disease. And when we trust in Yeshua, He takes our sin and places it upon Himself so that He can restore us and make us spiritually whole once again. And then at different times in our life, God will still cut us down to a stump. He finds a little sin in our life and He says, well, let me prune you and get rid of that thing. And so He cuts us down. And sometimes He looks at us and says, man, there's too many branches. He goes, if you looked at your calendar, there's too much stuff in there. We got to cut some of our stuff out of your life. We got to prune you and cut you down because you're unhealthy. But I want you to have life, healthy life, life to the fullest and overflowing. And so even after coming to faith all throughout our life, God's going to keep pruning us and cutting us down. And we'll be like a stump. But a stump means it ain't over. There's still life to come. Jerusalem's a city with a great past, and it's a city with a great future. And you may at times feel unworthy and see yourself like a little old stump. But a stump means there's still life yet. God believes in you and He hasn't given up on you. And this scripture is so wonderful. When the 77s are completed, wait, is that right? Yep, okay, good. All right, I'm reading the right thing here. When the 77s are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And the contemporary English version, bless you with a future filled with hope, a future of success, not of suffering. And the message, I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Do you see these promises God has in here for us? Good promise. A good one, not a bad one He's made to us. And He is going to fulfill that promise. He's going to keep His word to you. He's going to bring you back. You have a hope and a future filled with hope, filled with hope. And the good news is He's already got it planned out. He's not taken by surprise when the troubles come our way. He owes everything. And He says, don't worry, I've got it all planned out. I know what's happening, and I know how to bring you through this thing. And I will get you there. I will take care of you through the good times and the bad. And so I want to encourage you today, we are a stump, but a stump means there's still life left in these bodies. God still has life and plans for every one of us. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Grab hold of that rope if you need, like the boxer, and pull yourself back up on your feet. And that's also why you're part of a local congregation. Because sometimes we need somebody to help pull us back up to our feet. And that's what the people in here are for. To help pull us back up to our feet when we're a little too weak to pull ourselves back up. And so I want to encourage you, you've got a future filled with hope. There is still more life in you. And so let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, even though there's disease in us, that sometimes we're unhealthy, you don't give up on us. You don't uproot us and toss us out and look for someone else, plant a new tree. Lord, you just prune us and cut us down. But that's love, because you believe in us and you see more in us. You see that there's still life left inside of us. So you prune and get rid of all that junk and that disease and sickness so that we can come alive again. Thank you that you have life left for Jerusalem. Thank you that you have life in the family of David and Yeshua came to show you keep your promise. Thank you that you still have a remnant, a stump in the nation of Israel that trusts in Yeshua. And I thank you for all of us here today, whether from Israel or other nations, that God, you still have life left in each one of us. And Lord, though we've been knocked down at times, you will put us back up on our feet and we'll live again. And that there is still a future filled with hope for every one of us in this room. Let these words encourage us today. And I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. So thank you.